Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. I am Randy Heyer, and joining me, as always, from Berkeley, California, live via satellite, Will Scoville. Hello, how's it going, Will?
I'm all right, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Coming in hot, coming in big, bold. Now I'm going to ease back down into the way this podcast is.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special guest today. It's a former host of a podcast I appeared on, I think, at least four times, Boys. And now the host of Mixtapes and Heartbreaks with his lovely wife, Diana, Josh Montgomery.
How's it going? Thank you guys for having me. This is fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Or being on the podcast, I mean. Wow. Foot in my mouth right at the beginning.
Yeah, you doing okay, Randy?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm not. I woke up, climbed some rocks, you know?
Yeah.
But we've got Josh here because we're going to discuss Ernest Goes to Camp. Now, I wanted to have Josh on here specifically because I was talking about Gaylord Sartain on Instagram a week ago, and he messaged me about it, and I was like, man, we just got to get you. I owed you anyway for you having me on Boys so many times. And I was like, Ernest, perfect.
Dude, yeah, this is one of those movies. It's like one of the first three movies I ever saw as a being, you know. It was like Follow That Bird. It was Land Before Time, and it's Ernest Goes to Camp. That's like the first three in theaters that I still have distinctive memories with. Like, you know, they always ask, like, what's your oldest memory? It's like, I don't know, man. Seeing Ernest fall off a ladder when I was like five, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw any Ernest movie in theaters, actually.
Oh, man.
I did not see this one. I saw Scared Stupid. I saw Saves Christmas. Definitely. I might have seen Goes to Prison or Goes to Jail.
Goes to Prison.
Yeah.
That's the Mandela Effect alternate universe version. He goes to prison.
Because I was a big Ernest fan, but I definitely saw this one on video and kind of, I can't remember who, I remember where I heard about like Pee Wee Herman.
That
was someone at daycare told me about it, and I'm like, I have to see this thing.
When we were watching this, just yesterday, I was like, I brought up Pee Wee's Big Adventure. I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I guess they are kind of similar characters in a way, you know, but.
Well, it definitely pops up. Sorry, it pops up on one of those, like, if you like this, you'll like this. Like, you know, at the end of a movie, it'll pop up, hey, watch Big, it's always Big Top Pee Wee or Big Adventure is like the, because they are in the same kind of, I guess, realm.
Eccentric. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were trying to do the same thing with like Pee Wee as like, he's like this crazy character in this world of pretty much normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always kind of like that idea where you get someone who's kind of this, because like Ernest came from commercials.
Yeah.
He was like a commercial character that he wasn't associated with any one brand. He was just like, you hire him out as a spokesperson for your brand.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that why we're Oklahoma boys? Is that why we have the affection for Ernest? Because he was in Brahms commercials. That's where I first saw him, was Brahms commercials. And I thought, this guy's funny. This guy knows comedy.
Yeah.
It might be a for us, by us type situation, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it is like, he's a redneck, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's a simple dude, but he's not. He has like a really good heart and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like what the appeal of Ernest is, and there's something that they say in this movie. Let's just get into it, I guess. But
yeah,
in camp, he mentions that he fought in Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh my god. Randy, did I send that to you? Did I send you a message about that?
No.
Because like Jen and I were talking about that when that came up, and I was just like, was he in Nam? Like, did he? Well,
I just watched Army, and it seems like that's not canon. But then, if he's lying, that's like wrong to lie.
Stealing valor. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that prequel where he's, you know, in Nam, you know?
Yeah. It's called Platoon.
Ernest goes to Nam.
Kevin Dillon is playing the same character.
Yeah.
In Platoon.
Yeah. yeah. What I like about kind of this movie, and then it kind of gets some play in both Saves Christmas and Goes to Jail. And it's kind of like, okay, who is the antagonist of Goes to Camp? It's this like excavation company who is looking mm-hmm. to essentially take over the camp as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And just wreck it for profit. And there are scenes of like kicking people out of their homes.
That shit was crazy, dude.
Yeah. Like very like scary, you know, especially for a kid's movie.
Well, you know, it's kind of over the heads of children, probably over the heads of most adults then too, is it's a Native American camp ground, right? Native American land. And this company is forcing people out of their homes, mm-hmm. much like Native Americans are forced yes. out of their homes. You know, that's like, that's such a trope for those movies back in the day too. It's like, oh, well, meet all of your protagonists. Here are the kids you love. And then, oh, there's a greedy corporate fat cat yeah. wanting to come ruin everything.
But it's like in those movies, there's no clear motivations. Like, I'm going to turn this place into a parking lot. And for a parking lot for what is not exactly clear. But in this case, it is very clear. It's like we're excavating resources. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's very clear what they want that for. And it's for profit.
I wasn't sure. They kept saying what it was. And I was like, what is this? But
it was something like that was for use in space and military contracts.
Yeah. He inferred that it's like, it's important to NASA. And also we can become defense contractors basically.
Yeah. So it's probably some like, I don't know, something that for use in rockets or something.
But yeah, no, it's one of those things where I was like watching the movie and it's like, well, on one hand, you have all these kids present sort of a diverse group of kids. But on the other hand, it's like, what's the movie saying exactly? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the adults hate the kids too much. And that's mm-hmm. something that happens in 80s movies, I think, where it's like, wouldn't all the adults be like, these kids are like orphans, you know, like let's be nice to them.
No, it's kind of weird because it's like the whole thing is that it's a governor. The governor has mandated that they bring in these kids, probably free of charge, and so they're kind of like they have to do it, and you know, so they're not paying. This is still probably a private camp. They're not paying, and they're delinquent kids, and so they want to deal with them as little as possible, and that's another thing. Where it's just, they're not mean. They're just like, it's just like, we have to do this. We have to appease this like government mandated thing. But really it's just like, these kids don't have anyone who values their interests at all, who asks them questions and who talks to them like real people.
Yeah. You didn't get a backstory on like what they did to be in the quote, they just called it the institution.
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah,
But they're all playing like the quintessential bad kid. Like,
yeah.
The delinquent. But they were dressed like a ska band. the vest and the tie yeah. without a shirt, like a button down. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
It was rogues gallery of like kids. I remember being a little kid and being like, these kids are so cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like,
I was like, these are like the coolest kids. I would like love to be friends with all of them.
Yes.
And they look out for each other.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, nothing said badass in 1985 than like a crop top shirt, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were two dudes in that crew yeah. rocking crop tops.
Yeah.
And then that one dude, when they first introduced that Italian kid or whatever, he has like an unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Like you expect to like see a switch. Like he could have put on a switchblade at any point and it would have yeah. been totally okay. Like,
yeah. Well, they did bring out the knife at one point, and it was spring loaded. It wasn't a switchblade, but it was a spring loaded knife.
But those are your protagonists. Those are the yes. guys you're supposed to be rooting for.
Yes.
The bad kids were just like two douchebag bro dudes. Mm-hmm. One of which was on Supernatural.
Oh, later really? On.
Yeah, well, and
I feel like they are on the right. They're on the right side, having those kids be the good kids, and then the normal looking kids being the mean kids and shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
because there is a redemption both for them and for Ernest. It's not like, oh, these kids taught me. It's like, no, they came out and did the right thing. And then those douchebag rich guys were like, hey, by the end of the movie, like, we're sticking around too. We're doing the right thing.
We're going to be friends with our parents didn't pick us up or something.
Yeah, like, something like that. But
so, yeah. Do we want to just, I mean, everybody knows who Ernest is, right? It begins with him talking to the camera, typically, I think, in all these movies. Mm-hmm.
To Vern, who is you, essentially, who is your mm-hmm. point of view. But it's like they were doing these, I think, out of Arkansas, this production company. It was him. It was Varney, John Cherry, who directed this movie, mm-hmm. and then Coke or Cokie Sams, C-O-K-E Sams, who directed at least one of the movies, I think.
Yeah.
And so prior to Ernest Goes to Camp, which was, this is a Touchstone movie, which is a subsidiary of Disney. So Touchstone eventually had their big hit with Pretty Woman.
Oh.
And that was like a big thing because it was a Disney released like R-rated movie.
Mm.
And so Touchstone was a place where they could try out different things that like were Disney adjacent, but they were kind of more serious.
Mm.
And so this is earlier on when it's also like, remember Hollywood Pictures, which did like Encino Man?
Oh yeah.
And that was another place where it was like kind of a subsidiary of a bigger studio where it's like, we can give new producers a lower budget movie through like Hollywood Pictures. And it was kind of like that for a while for Disney.
Hmm.
And so this is an early on thing and they don't quite know what they're doing. So they're kind of doing this diverse thing. So they pick up this dude who is from Arkansas doing these regional commercials, but is very popular. And they had already made an independent film, John Cherry, Coke Sams, and Jim Varney with Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Gloom Beam.
Which is awesome.
It's amazing. And Ernest is bookended on that. He's at the very beginning, he's at the very end, but not really so much in the middle.
But you've got Auntie Nelda, you've got other Varney
characters. You got Dr. Otto, you got you got so many characters that Varney is doing in this movie.
See, I didn't know what that was. And like, so as I was watching it, I had like IMDb up and Wikipedia and looking at all this stuff, like, you know, getting all the points. And it's like, this is his second movie. Like, no, it was not. This was the first Ernest movie. Goes to Camp was the first. And I was like, oh, what's this Dr. Otto? Like, it looked, just judging by the cover art, I'm like, this seems like it couldn't, what I said was like a much darker movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this seems like it could be good.
It's good. I love it. It's weird. And it almost seems like the Ernest stuff was like put in later on because of Ernest's popularity.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just, it was still independent, but in the time when they were like doing it, in the time that it came out, Ernest had kind of blown up. It was on his way to do the Ernest Goes to Camp movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why don't we just stick him at the beginning and end with this new footage and kind of release that. And so Ernest can be part of this and kind of can be a selling point for that. And I've got a friend of mine years ago gave me a 35mm trailer for Dr. Otto. And it is Ernest looking at a film reel of the movie and saying, hey, I got a new movie coming out. It's called Dr. Otto and Riddle of the Gloom Beam. And it's
awesome.
Like, so he was used to sell this movie and then Goes to Camp became the first like big budget, you know, studio movie to feature him.
It's not even like Dr. Otto is okay, I think, for kids to watch, but the humor is a little too weird and adult for kids, mm-hmm. I think. I remember being very bored with it as a kid, but I watched it like a month or two ago and I was like, I loved it. It was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it really like there's a hero in the movie and he's like a dumbass and he's like
balding, kind of
pudgy American. And it's like, it shows him and his family like pledging allegiance on Christmas and stuff. And it's just like, you really get to see kind of the angle that John Cherry, Coke Sams and Jim Varney were coming from. And so seeing that and then seeing like, okay, they're fighting against this excavation company from tearing up this big plot of nature reserve.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of see how that informs all the movies going after. And so even in like Saves Christmas, he's paired up with like an orphan girl who's kind of on the skids. And, you know, and that's pretty, you know, if you watch like Santa Claus, the movie, that's in there too. But you really get a sense of where she's from and what trouble she has. And a full redemption arc of her kind of like coming back into that. And then it goes to jail. You have the whole prison system, like they're wearing like pink and stuff. And yeah. It's just like making fun of them the whole time. And it's like, it's so like the politics of these movies is really interesting. And it's kind of like slipped in there little by little.
I don't know why I never thought of that till just now. Like I've loved all of those movies. I'm like, they all have some sort of political leaning to them, of environmentalism, of the prison industrial complex, of homelessness, of trolls coming into neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Eating children, turning children to wood, I believe is that one.
I think that one is more of like the bad things that America was founded on that has just stayed buried and then coming back to them. So you can talk about, relate that to say, I don't know, like Black Lives Matter or kind of the reinvestigation of the Tulsa race riot.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's,
massacre.
You can massacre. Yeah. You can like,
Jim Varney was woke.
Yep. Right. So, you can really kind of, tie that in sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. And so, I don't know. I think watching these as an adult is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets a little, they maybe just age and get a little less biting and a little more conservative. Like by the end, it's army, and that doesn't really have any kind of useful message in it, in my opinion. No. But it does have a moment. It's before 9/11. He helps these like Muslim people, and like the guy he helps goes, "Oh, praise Allah, Ernest is here," or so. Like he says something like that. He says, "Praise Allah." Wait,
in which one?
In army.
Oh, an army. Okay. So like what he's helping out. Oh, it's pre 9/11 too. Right?
Yeah. It's like he's going in and helping people that are being like held captive by some kind of like warlord or something. Mm-hmm. It's like a terrible movie.
It's kind of like Rambo though. Right. So it's,
oh yeah.
Like,
it is
like Rambo 3.
It's a lot like Rambo 3. Honestly. It is almost, dedicated to the brave Mujahideen fighters of Afghanistan. Like, it might as well say that at the end. But,
yeah.
And it kind of betrays him being a vet in this one because it's like, wait a minute. Because it seems like he really wants to be in the army, but he can't because he's I don't know. They would let a guy that dumb into the army for sure.
Well, I mean, age, that would probably be the only thing.
That would be
a little too old. Old.
The other thing I like about Goes to Camp and a lot of these other movies is that, like, you know, Ernest has an occupation and it's like the weird, it's like he's a maintenance guy.
Yeah.
He's a maintenance guy at this summer camp, but he really wants to be a camp counselor. And I don't think that is the career path that you take to become a camp counselor. And I really think he is probably making more money as a maintenance guy at that place than he would as a camp counselor.
He's definitely a union worker. He's got he's got the benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's higher
you get health
up.
Insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. He replaces like a come teenager. On, yeah.
Yeah. Well, those movies were woke. This one was, except they cast an Italian American.
Iron Eyes Cody.
Iron Eyes. Yep. Who his entire career was basically brown face, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's like Rachel Dolezal before that. Yeah.
And there's a scene where he does like a speech and I'm like, is he even speaking an actual language or is he mumbling random shit?
Nope.
He's a bad actor too, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, kind of bad in this movie.
And he was the quintessential teardrop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lay that trash. Cut that. Okay.
Yeah.
He was the same guy. Yeah.
Same.
And it's like, he's one of those guys where it's like he wasn't that great of an actor. And so he kind of got hired to do this one thing and became known for it and just kind of ran with it and was like, you need an Indian guy. Gotcha. And, you know, guy.
Yeah. So you go through his IMDb. It's just like every single Western ever he was in at some point.
Yeah.
Man.
It is
different times.
Yeah. So you got him and then like a Latinx woman. I don't think that woman is like indigenous either.
I did a little research. Her mother is half. I totally blanked on what tribe it was. So she has a little, a little more than Italian Iron Eyes, whatever his name was.
God. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And it's like, it is strange. It's like, just he's an old chief with no tribe at all, and he owns like all this land. It's like, wait, there's not like other people in the tribe or something.
They said they're the last ones of the tribe.
Oh, I missed that line. Okay.
Yeah.
So about the tribe, the opening scene, it's a little kind of racist, right? It's a stereotypical Native American.
Based on nothing,
Based on nothing.
Yeah.
But I remember as a kid seeing that scene and it scared the shit out of me.
Me too, dude. Yeah. I remember it being so scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always equate it with Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the heart pulling out. It's got that same kind of.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, the beginning where they cut the hand off. That's the one that I would always think about too. Yeah. No, you're right. You're totally right.
So, because it was like the lighting was super dark. Yes. Like, they're going to murder this dude.
Yeah.
You have to build up to the absurd ending that rules, but it wouldn't.
Oh, God, yes. And that's another thing where it's just like, at the very end of this movie, he's shooting at Ernest. He's like got him in the crosshairs and is shooting at him.
It's as if the guy who owns DuPont came down and started firing a gun at a guy or so. Like he's the owner of the company. Yeah.
Okay. And nothing comes of it. That's blatant attempted murder, right? Mm-hmm. You should go to prison for that. Yes. Speaking of going to prison.
He just runs away. He's like,
I'm going to put my rifle down and go away.
Yeah.
And then conveniently they come up and have the we got a restraining order from this man who just tried to murder you. How crazy.
I mean, you also have him like, you got, what's his name? Lyle Alzado.
Yeah.
The football player. He played for the Raiders or something.
Yeah.
And who I remember mostly from an episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's in this terrible movie called Destroyer with Anthony Perkins that I have.
I know that one.
On Blu-ray.
Oh, you got a Blu-ray of that one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And so he's like the muscle of this excavation company, and he's the one who's like throwing people out of their homes.
Literally.
Literally throwing people out of their homes. And just is like scary
that scene
and shit. He's
was like, why is this scene in this movie?
Of them throwing people out?
Yeah, it's like there's like a house. It's like because there's this other guy that's like brokering deals for John Vernon, who's the main bad guy. And if everyone knows, John Vernon's the dean in Animal House, and he's the mayor in Dirty Harry. But so he's like, legally, they're not allowed to be here or something. Like, legally, it's okay for you to kick them out. And so then, John Alzado or Lyle Alzado goes in, and this guy has like a shotgun. He's like, you're not going to take my home. And he just like beats him up. And he's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When I first saw him on screen, I was like, is that the Body by Jake guy? Because it kind of looks a little like Body by Jake guy.
It does.
Like,
nope. Kind of.
And then I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's a football player. What was with that in the 80s? Like football players going into movies?
I mean, it's still a thing. I mean, you got LeBron is going to be in Space Jam 2, and you had Michael Jordan in the first one.
But it was more like football players going, like, I mean, OJ Simpson. But there was like coaches. There's been like football coaches going into, what's that? Oh, damn it. What's the name? There was a football coach from back in the day that started acting and was actually pretty damn good at it. My mind just went.
Terry Bradshaw. Before.
Terry Bradshaw did it.
Bradshaw has been in a lot
of
stuff.
He's a player, though. I don't know like football, dude.
Yeah.
What did
John
Bob
Madden was doing stuff.
What did Bob Uecker play? Baseball?
I know he's a baseball announcer. I think he did play baseball for a bit. But dude, him in Major League is...
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then Belvedere, of course.
Oh, of course.
He's the dad.
Oh, God. I forgot he played baseball or did something with baseball. And then I remember like Deion Sanders like on SNL, and Charles Barkley came on there once too, and they did the whole like you put your weed in here sketch.
Barkley was on too many times. He hosted too many times.
Oh, did he? I just remember the one time he was on, the first time.
Not good. Not good.
SNL is generally pretty bad, I think.
Yeah, it's just like I had a friend who was like, you don't watch it? And I'm like, no. And he's like, not even the monologue? And I'm like, no. I'm like, why would I, like, the monologue is sometimes the worst part, you know, especially if, like, you don't quite know who that person is or if it's, like, an Elon Musk type and it's up to the cast to kind of do the work, do the heavy lifting of making that interesting. And So
yeah, SNL nowadays just like makes me feel old because I'm like, who is this person hosting? Who the hell is this musical guest? Is this really the music that kids are listening to today? Is this really? Okay. It sounds exactly like the last musical guest they had. All right. Yeah. No variety.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I don't, it's weird because like I end up liking a lot of the people that come out of SNL still. Mm-hmm. Like they do work outside of that and it's like, oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Mooney and what's his name? That other guy. They used to have a YouTube channel together called Good Neighbor. Mm. Their sketches were hilarious on Good Neighbor. And then you go to SNL and it's like, man, Beck Bennett, that.
Yeah. Mm.
They're good, but. And I think Kate McKinnon's great. She's hilarious. Yeah. But other than that, like, what do you got?
Yeah, but not on outside of SNL, Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, outside of SNL, they're all good. But yeah. Like, I'm an old Lonely Island fan, you know, pre-SNL. And I was, like, excited when they got hired on there. But it was just, like, I still didn't watch SNL when they were on. You know, they had the few, like, shorts that they were doing, which was more of an extension of what they were doing outside of SNL. Mm-hmm. But it was really, that was them 100% versus SNL being like, do this for us. Mm. And so again, after SNL, like once they kind of moved on, I'm still a fan of a lot of their stuff, outside of that too. But with Ernest though, this is like,
man, Barney would have killed it.
Oh my God, SNL. Dude.
Barney did he ever host SNL?
No. Like in Pee-wee did, in the '80s.
Yeah, Barney would have killed it. He's hilarious.
They should have had him on, like, with, I don't know, like, what era, what year did this come out? 87?
85. I think Barney would have hit really well in, like, 87 or 88.
Well, this came out in 87.
Been a bad cast, though. That would have been, like, the era of, like, Robert Downey Jr. and that bad year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony Michael Hall. If you could get him in with, like, Phil Hartman and them.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Dude, because Barney's work and like his work as Jed Clampett in the Beverly Hillbillies remake
so good.
Is great.
Yeah.
He's also so good. A really good actor. There was a documentary about him a couple of years ago that I watched, and it was going through like, he's like a stage actor. Like he's just really good and just did this Ernest character and people kind of fell in love with it. And he just kept doing it because people love it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there would have been an Auntie Nelda movie, honestly.
Well, okay.
Auntie Nelda is super funny.
Did you watch that TV show he had, the Saturday morning TV show?
I haven't gone. I did at the time, but I haven't gone back as an adult and watched it.
That's I've what got Diana that. Thinks. She's like, that was her introduction was the TV show. I was like, I forgot about that. Totally forgot.
Yeah. Well, no, she was in Dr. Otto, I think. So she was in there, and then she's in a few of the movies too. But like, I have the complete run of that on DVD. So maybe I'll see if I can get that to you.
Very nice.
It's very good. It's weird and it's like
was
sketches
that show
with
called, you know what I mean, Vern or something like
no,
that.
No, it's Hey Vern.
Hey Vern, yeah.
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 So it
and Auntie Nelda's the one with like the neck brace, right?
Yeah, she's like he was never a smart boy. Yeah, like he was always a troubled child. Like
Okay, doesn't he have a picture of Auntie Nelda in his cabin? So the cabin that he has, there's so many things, trinkets within that cabin. There's an OU pendant.
Yep, I saw that.
Hell yeah.
There's a picture of Auntie Nelda, which is him. And then there's like pieces from other like sketches that he did on that show or in commercials, like the alligator puppet that he used in different commercials.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of hidden things in there. I thought that OU pendant was cool. Like, oh, cool. Sooners.
Yeah. That was nice to see.
We haven't talked about Gaylord Sartain, though, yet. Just like his role in this. I think he is so funny. Like, it, of course, it gets better once Bobby is introduced in the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only movie that doesn't go by Bobby Chuck, right? Like, his name is usually Chuck in the rest of the movies, right?
Yeah, I think so. I Chuck and Bobby.
Yeah, and in this movie, I forget what his name is, like Mike or something.
Yeah.
It's the same character though, but with like that other guy. Yeah. Eggs Erroneous. And like, man, I was thinking about there's that scene where Lyle Alzado breaks their like food machine, but it cuts away and doesn't show you a wide of it breaking. So I wonder if they only broke the top and then they just put parts of it down.
That would make sense.
And if it still exists somewhere. It's like,
I doubt it.
I was thinking just like, I wish there was an Ernest Museum, dude, with like all the trolls, the cannon from Rides Again, all that shit.
That would be cool. Well, the funny thing is, like, if you watch Scared Stupid, a lot of the creature effects in that movie were done by the Kyoto brothers, who you might know from a little movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes.
And the creature models were reused from Killer Clowns. So a lot of the little, not the main troll with like the two noses, but when he, at the very end, when all the other trolls come up, they're all the clowns from.
That's why they look familiar.
Nice. Yeah, from Killer Clowns. And you'll notice like different body shapes and stuff if you watch those back to back.
And that's what you'd call a wet puppet movie, right?
That is a wet puppet movie. Yep.
Yeah.
Love them wet puppets. So
moist, moist Muppet.
Yeah. I have to talk about a part of this movie that is weirdly out of place, but I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. And that is Ernest's little musical number, his little song that he sings.
My favorite scene, dude.
Like, yeah. Me too.
I think about it when I'm sad and stuff. That song will pop into my head. Sometime.
And it's something that has not gotten out of my head in, you know, the 35 years or whatever since this movie has come out. That he takes the time. And I don't think he's done this in any other movie. It's just singing a song about how sad he is. And it's really heartbreaking.
Jim Varney original, right? Like,
I don't know.
Did he write that? No,
I have no idea.
I was wondering.
The original.
Yeah, it seems like it's made for the movie. Like, it's talking about what's happening in the story.
Yeah,
the song. So yeah.
Well, I read a little IMDb trivia about that. He did that all in one take, and apparently, like, everyone on set was like bawling their eyes out when he was doing it. Like, such a touching song.
Dang.
Damn, Barney, get him.
Yeah, I mean, great, and I like his voice. Is like, it's not perfect, but it's perfect for what it is. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be weird if he sang like beautifully, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So it's a weird piece of that movie, which kind of makes this in a movie that, like, I don't know, like there's the scene that I was waiting for, which was when in the cafeteria in the mess hall, when they slap that tray onto his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole sequence that ends with that Coke machine falling on him,
which is certainly be dead.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Like getting crushed by, there's like warning stickers on Coke machines now. It's like, don't tip this over, 'cause it will kill you.
Yeah. Because of Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. There's so many things that happen in this movie that if it actually happened to someone, just the tray, if a tray hit you, a plastic tray hit you so hard in the face that it left an imprint, you're concussed and possibly dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then,
there's arson in this movie. There's attempted murder. There's like so many crimes in this movie that just go, just to the wayside.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When they finally defeat Lyle Alzado, they like put like that go-kart full of like gas cans or whatever.
Yeah, like explosives. And it's like,
they pretty much would have killed that guy. I mean, they him get out, but it's like a double shot. There's nobody in there when it goes off.
Yeah.
Because it would kill whoever was in the seat for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And he comes out with like the Looney Tunes, like black smoke all over his face. Yeah. Like, that's I'm fine. Like,
yeah.
It's like definitely would be dead.
Like, no, that's like a roadside IED. Like,
yeah.
That golf cart was cool too. It was one of those, I totally forgot that these existed, those ones that the steering wheel was like
the handle,
like a bar. Yeah, like a little handlebar thing. Like, those are cool.
Yeah, I like the running gag of it running away, getting away from him, and then you see it all through the movie and stuff.
At the very beginning of the movie too, it's like it starts off and then
nice comical through line there.
Yeah.
So I had a question. So the main counselor, I guess the camp, what do you call them?
The director?
The camp director. They wanted to get John Goodman for that role, right? Like, it's clearly like a John Goodman replacement.
He reminded me of the dad, who I believe the actor's name is James Hampton from Teen Wolf. But he almost talks like him. But it's like, it's just some dude. Like, because I was like, this guy's in tons of movies, you know? And I was like, no, he's not really in. He's in like Scared Stupid maybe, but yeah.
Anytime I saw him on screen, I'm like, I'm clearly seeing they were like, all right, we want that coach from Revenge of the Nerds. We want him to play this camp leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just had Goodman vibes all over it. Mm.
Yeah.
Man, I forgot that he would have killed it too.
Yeah, he's in that.
I forgot he was like at all. I haven't seen that since forever, but
it does not hold up.
Oh, I know. I know that.
Yeah.
There's problematic scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
Several. Yeah.
Several.
When I was working at a job that I worked with for several years, we had a big event where it was like a reunion of some of the Revenge of the Nerds people. And it was like, we showed it and everything. And then it was like right before, like everyone was like, oh yeah, this is not maybe a movie that should be celebrated.
Who was there? Like Booger?
Booger was there. And then former guest of this show, Jacob Rubin, was on a reality show with him a few years ago called King of the Nerds on TBS.
Mm.
So yeah, he had that show with it was Booger hosting and then Curtis Armstrong hosting, and then the Carradine who was in that movie was kind of there as well.
Oh yeah. Robert Carradine, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
It's a movie that I loved as a kid, man, but it's just like, it is playing on perverted fantasies of little boys. And it's not like, as an adult, you're like, oh, the nerds are bad men. You know, they're really bad guys.
It's like, really fills into that whole incel thing.
They are kind of, yeah.
But that,
putting
cameras
up and stuff.
That's what most of those comedies were in the 80s, like Porky's, and it was just horny teen movies.
Yeah. You know? There's no sexuality at all in this movie or in any Ernest movies.
Ernest,
really.
Well, here, I don't know, man. Jim Varney and Goes to Jail is pretty damn sexy.
Yeah.
Is it? Well, is it him or is it? Damn. Is it the double of him?
Yeah, the double, like the slick back. I forgot the character's name.
Yeah.
But man, he's like, and he's even kind of like a little aggressive with the female.
He is. Like, yeah. And yeah,
but he's a bad guy. You don't root for him.
Yeah. He escapes from death. It's crazy that in that movie he's on death row. Like Ernest gets switched and is on death row for like most of that movie. And then you've got that guy that's in all those movies. Like Randall Tex Cobb is like his buddy in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Jail's my favorite one personally. What would you say is your favorite one? Your favorite Ernest in general?
Josh, you can pick.
Man, well, Camp's the one that's closest to my heart just because it's the first one I ever saw.
Yeah.
It introduced me to the Turtles. Like, I never heard Happy Together before. Again, I was only five.
Me too.
So why would I have
Happy
Together?
Me too. Yeah.
Here's the thing. They never play the actual song in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's just them singing it, and then there's like a weird version of it playing it when they're when they release the snapping turtles on them, which, where did the rest of those snapping turtles come from? I only saw the one.
Yeah.
Apparently there's more. But I would say, I don't know, man. Yeah, Jail, just because it goes a different direction. It's a little darker. You get more of those characters. There's that, you know, where that montage where he goes through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how's he going to get out?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my favorite, dude.
I'm going to go, Jail, Camp, and then maybe Scared Stupid because it's bad, but it's so bad that it's good kind of a thing. Those would be my top three.
Yeah. I would say Camp is probably top because it's like it is the foundational Ernest.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, this is if you don't know anything about him, this will tell you everything you need to know, and then you can kind of continue on. And then like Saves Christmas is all right, but it Saves Christmas and like Scared Stupid are like, you know, two sides of the same coin. It's, again, I'm going to make the analogy of the Rubber Soul Revolver thing. You know, they're kind of, you know, sequels to each other because they're holiday movies, but I think Scared Stupid is the better of the two. But it does go much harder into a kid's movie where this is like,
it's too much of a kid's movie in my, that's what holds me back from Scared Stupid.
I still like it. But I haven't seen Goes to Jail recently enough to kind of, I would probably put that higher up.
Well, I host Ernest Club at Rodeo, so I've watched all of these recently.
Yeah.
The only one I still have never seen is Africa, which is like, we're doing Camp this coming month, and then Africa's next, and I'm not looking for it.
Is that the last one?
The second. Army's the last one.
Army's the last one?
But there was supposed to be a movie called Ernest the Pirate, but he was dying of cancer, basically.
Yeah.
And then John Sherry finished the movie with Tim Curry. It's just like a pirate movie that John Sherry made.
Huh.
It's reworked from the Ernest the Pirate script.
Ooh, we should watch
it. So you're going to watch it and then imagine that Tim Curry is Ernest?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. And then he also made an Abbott Costello movie with Gilbert Ortain.
Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy, forgive me.
Laurel and Hardy
Yeah. That was, I remember when that came out. Is it Bronson Pinchot in that too?
Yeah, it's Gaylord Sartain and him. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah. That is one I've never seen. I've read a little bit about it, but it's like, oh, I don't know if I can, it's like, I watched the Three Stooges movie, recently, like within the last year. And it was just like, it's same deal. I'm like,
are you talking about the Farrelly Brothers one?
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't need it. Like they do some things right in that movie, in the Three Stooges movie, but it's like,
it is Will Sasso in that Three Stooges movie?
Okay. It didn't need to exist. There's no,
I mean, the real Three Stooges movie is Brain Donors, right?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Well, no, that's more of a Marx Brothers thing though.
Oh yeah. No, you're right. It is. Yeah.
But it's like, it was a new set of people. They weren't playing the Marx Brothers. So I don't know, but that movie isn't good enough to kind of...
Oh, I'm kidding, dude. As a kid, I thought it was like the funniest movie of all time. Like, I have not seen it since like I was like 8 or 9.
Well, like the Three Stooges one, it's like they involve the cast of Jersey Shore. Mm. And so like Mo goes and becomes a cast member on Jersey Shore and just like slaps around into like all those people on that show, and it's weird.
Whoa. I almost want to definitely see this movie then.
But
that sounds like a train wreck, dude.
But then you also have, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies, which nobody really needed that movie, but it was so well cast.
Oh, I love that, dude.
And Penelope Spheres directed it, and it's just like, great.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Wayne's World?
Yeah,
from Beverly Hillbillies.
Wayne's World. So
Yeah,
when the Beverly Hillbillies movie came out, I liked it. Even though we watched like Beverly Hillbillies my brain just up. Watch them on like Nick at Night or whatever they played them on. And the same thing with, I think maybe that same year, the year after that, they put out that Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was also, I still think my dad was watching it a couple of weeks ago at his house. And I was like, all right, it still holds up. It's funny because it's kind of poking fun at itself.
Yeah. But not too much. And it's like not like
enough to where it's still funny.
Yeah.
And you got Gary Cole as the dad.
I loved that movie too. And I liked the sequel at the time. I haven't seen him now, but
It's another thing where it's like the cast is really great on that. And that really takes it a long way. And I think Beverly Hillbillies.
Whoever plays Marcia in that is so fire. Like,
Ben Stiller's
ex-wife, Melanie something from Hey Dude.
Yeah.
She's so good in that movie.
Yeah.
And then, man, in Beverly Hillbillies, you've got him, but then you also have Diedrich Bader as his nephew, and then Erica Eleniak is the daughter, and I can't remember the grandma.
Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But then you got, what's her name? Lily Tomlin is in it, and other dude, Dabney Coleman is in it as well.
Dabney Coleman,
And it's like a stacked cat. Oh, and then Leah Thompson and Rob Schneider are in it too.
Oh shit.
And Rob Schneider
from Entourage is also in it.
Is he really?
He's the boy attracted to the girl. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. I forgot he was in that movie. Wow. God, I got to go back and watch that. And I feel like Rob Schneider is playing the same character he was playing in Home Alone 2. The bellhop. He feels like the same, which is like a very Rob Schneider type of character, to be honest. But like, we're a good deal into this. Do you want to take a break and then we can come back for the big roundup?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie.
Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. We are now in the big roundup where we will rate the movie on a 0 to 5 star rating scale. Josh, give it to you first. Ernest goes to camp. Where are you going to rate this bad boy?
Man, I kind of want to go 5 stars. There's a part of me wanting to go to straight up 5. yeah, screw it. I'll just do 5 stars. I'm going to go 5 just because it starts out making you think it's going to be something that it's definitely not going to be. It starts out dark. It takes you on a journey, and you get to learn about, you get to know the character of Ernest, you know? Mm. And because you get that 80s montage in it too,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
5 stars for the montage.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Wonderful. Will, what do you got?
You know, I got a lot of similar stuff. I really, you know, a lot of this movie is nostalgia, obviously. Just growing up with all the Ernest movies. But, you know, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. I had never seen it in HD. This is the first time I watched it in HD. It looked really good. And then based on some other movies I've seen from the era, it held up pretty well. I held interest. I watched the whole thing. I was laughing at it. Because it was genuinely funny, and you know, Jim Varney is such a presence on the screen. He really commands everything, even though he's playing this stupid guy. He's like, you know, really funny, and he's a really good physical comedian. I'm not going to go as high as 5 stars. I think I'm going to give it 4 stars, which is pretty high. Pretty good review.
Solid.
Pretty good rating. Solid movie. Still holds up. Still would watch it. And thankfully, not as problematic as it could be.
Yeah.
You know, it does have those issues, but with it, but it, you know, looking at some movies from the same era, it's like, whew, that did not, yikes, it did not age. Even stuff like Bill and Ted, like, it has some problematic stuff that I'm like, not happy about. So this one, I think I can safely give it a 4-star rating.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think its heart is in the right place despite having some issues with just like, you know, they could have done it better, but like it is for what it is. It's like, I mean, you know, they do a fairly good job. It is also, yeah, it's quintessentially 80s. Just the way that the kids look and everything. Mm-hmm. I love a good summer camp movie, guys. Like,
yeah.
Part of me almost watching this, I was like, this, not for this movie, but it would have been kind of fun maybe if they would have done another Ernest in a camp movie and done kind of like a slasher parody or something like that, you know? I mean, you'd have to you'd have to do a really, it'd be a fine line to walk, but I think that could be a lot of fun, you know, like.
Yeah, it'd almost have to go like a Scooby-Doo element of it to where it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not really.
Well,
yeah.
Randy, if you remember from last year, I made the comment that Wolf of Snow Hollow was, in fact, and Jim Cummings is, in fact, a modern-day Ernest type of character.
I do remember you saying that.
And that is, and his character from those two movies is essentially an Ernest type, and Wolf of Snow Hollow is an Ernest slasher movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
A modern-day Ernest slasher movie.
And Club Dread, kind of, I think, I don't know if you've ever seen that or anybody, like the Broken Lizard movie.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's sort of...
I think it's a highly underrated film. But
me too. It achieves the tone that I'm kind of thinking of what I would have liked to have seen Ernest in. But I just love a good summer camp movie. I think this is like one of the best. I definitely would watch this over any Meatballs movie, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to give it... I don't think it's okay. Here's one thing I thought about watching it. I think the slapstick shit hits so much harder when you get further. Like, this is just the first movie, you know? And like, so in Christmas and then jail is like when he's loses control of the floor cleaner and it takes him up on the ceiling. I mean, that's like me crying, laughing. Like,
or when he gets electrocuted to the point of possible death.
Yeah. Yeah. And he becomes a magnet for some reason. Yeah. And like there's nothing like that. Insane.
Develop superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. Or him trying to, he carves an AK-47 out of a bar of soap or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just all that crazy stuff. This wasn't on that level of funny for me. So, like, I would maybe rank Jail 5 out of 5, but this I'm going to give 4. I'm going to echo Will, I think, and give 4 out of 5. So now what we do is we give recommendations. Josh, you have any movies you'd like to recommend based on this, if you like this movie?
Well, going back to, like, summer camp movies, the whole time I was watching this, anytime it showed the actual campgrounds, which the shots were very, they weren't wide, so it really wasn't even a campground. They did it at like a state park and they built those cabins. But it reminded me of Wet Hot American Summer. So I'm going to say, if you haven't seen Wet Hot American Summer, who the hell are you? But watch Wet Hot American Summer because it's a great camp movie. I also just noticed on his IMDb that he was in Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain. That's the one Three Ninja movies I haven't seen.
That's so now Varney, I have to watch Varney was in that Jim one? Varney.
Yeah.
Okay.
He plays a character called Lothar Zog.
That has Hulk Hogan in it too, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Got to be a great one.
Yeah.
Yep.
No way could it be today. Bad. Yeah. Cool. Okay. That's your recommendations. Wonderful. Yep. Will?
I'm just going to say, check out more stuff that Jim Varney did. He kind of got around in the 90s right before he died. He died when I was in high school. And so I remember coming home from school that day. And it was funny because a news crew had come to shoot me making shit up about hacking. And it was played on like statewide news. Like the teacher just said, can you get in front of a camera and talk about hacking? Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'll say whatever I need to say. And so I was watching it for myself. Mm. And then it got after my story, it was like the announcement that Jim Varney had died. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Wow. All right. Well,
50 years old, man.
I know, man. Yeah. And
we're not that far away from that, man.
I know.
He
was starting to do like TV, like guest starring roles as different characters. He was on an episode of Roseanne. And then he was getting into some movies as well. Mm. So he could have had, in his later years, kind of a resurgence and become this like very well-respected actor. I like firmly believe had he lived. So.
Oh yeah. I think Ernest is definitely going to be the character that he's best known for. I think for a lot of people who grew up in the like late 90s, possibly Slinky as well.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. We're dead on about that. He's also in the Billy Bob Thornton's second directed movie, Daddy and Them. He has a good dramatic role in that.
Yeah.
Uncle Hazel or something like, I can't remember, but anyway, in terms of my recommendations, I would just say Sleepaway Camp, I feel like, is maybe the ultimate summer camp movie. Mm-hmm. And then, Wet Hot, of course, is like maybe the second, but I mean, in terms of like, until you just like if it's not a horror movie, it's Wet Hot, in my opinion, for sure. Right. Even above this one, you know, like Wet Hot American Summer is like a 5-star movie for sure.
Yeah, Friday 13th, and I think it's funny.
Another one too that I love. That's a good summer camp, filmed on a real summer camp that you could go to, and I want to very badly.
And Wet Hot American Summer, I want to say, as much time has passed between that movie coming out and now as passed when it was set and when it was when it came out. So it was like 81. Yeah. It was when it was set.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in like 2001 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now it's 2021, and it's just like wow. We're now we've now crossed that. Now going forward, it's like now it's been longer since the movie came out than between the time the movie took place and when it was released.
It's those thought experiments of time where it makes you feel not old, but just like, man, time is a vortex. A like, where does it go?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Absolutely. So, well, very cool. Thank you all for watching this. And it was great to watch it again and talk about it with people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always trying to talk about Ernest with people. And it's just kind of like, sometimes it's a difficult conversation because I'm in California and it is not necessarily as well respected out here. He is, if you talk to the right people, he is. And then if you
got a bunch of cork sniffers out there in California about Ernest, yep. All high and mighty on
yep. there. So it's just, if you get the right people to watch it, they're like, oh yeah, I get it. And, so yeah, it was great watching this again. I'm going to have to go watch Goes to Jail again.
Oh yeah. So it definitely made me want to like, just go down the whole Rolodex of Ernest films and watch them all.
Yeah. And then probably Beverly Hillbillies again too. I'll probably.
Yeah. I definitely want to see that. And man, I also saw he has a role in a, like an obscure Jeff Speakman action movie, like The Expert.
Which, yeah, like, I saw that too.
I have no idea how to find that. Jeff Speakman is like a tenpai guy. His big movie is The Perfect Weapon. Mm-hmm. Man, I've got to see The Expert. That sounds crazy. Anyway.
Maybe Jim Barney plays like some sort of badass or something, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's a prison movie, where like Speakman goes to prison to like, you know, find somebody and Barney plays someone named like Rat or Snake or something like that. I looked it up the other day, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll just have to have you back on when we cover.
Yeah, man, we'll check that one out.
Maybe we'll watch Dr. Otto too. We'll do like a special. Barney.
That would be cool. Well, if we ever do Ernest again, you can be our Ernest guy, Josh. Yeah.
Oh man, that would be amazing. Thank you.
Very cool.
What do you have to plug for us, Josh?
Do a podcast with my wife. It's called Mixtapes and Heartbreaks. We talk about songs from our past and present. Songs that have impacted us in some way. We can find us anywhere you get your podcast, just Mixtapes and Heartbreaks. It's ampersand Heartbreaks. Yeah, check us out.
It's a terrific podcast, and I love your logo. Who did your logo?
Robbie Harris. Robbie Harris Jr., master of logos.
It's excellent, yeah. It's really, really slick looking. And yeah, I love... You're great on it. And Diana, I'd never heard her really talk in a podcast form like that. And she's great. Like, I love her. She has a real like droll energy to her voice and stuff. It's a good podcast. I recommend checking your
cool. Thanks,
Mixed
man.
Tapes and Heartbreaks out. Yeah. Will, what do you got?
I got, you know, my usual stuff. If you're into movies, I also want to say you probably noticed that it's been 2 weeks since the last episode came out. We're redoing the schedule, so you're going to hear us every 2 weeks now.
Oh, yes.
So I guess Roadhouse would have come out 2 weeks ago from when you're hearing this. So we're going to be doing this kind of on the off weeks of when I do another show called Sup Doc, which is a documentary review show. I've plugged it here before, so... I'm trying to set this up. So if it's a week that this show is not coming out, it'll be a week that Sup Doc is coming out. So you can go check that out. I am not on that show, but I work on that show. We've been around for like 5 years or so. We may or may not be getting the guy from Eve 6 on that show soon. So
Max Collins?
Please check that out. We're getting Rodney Asher back, I think. He directed Glitch in the Matrix as well as Room 237. which are excellent documentaries.
He's, still haven't seen Glitch in the Matrix.
It's good. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
That's on Netflix, right? About
the living in a simulation.
Yeah.
It's good. So he was great the last time he was on, and I'm really excited about him coming back. So check that out when it comes out. But a lot of cool stuff on that. And then Nerd Rage, The Great Debates. Very soon we are back in person recording. I am so excited about that. It is my comedy game show where all my friends get to yell at each other. And we've been doing it on Zoom for a year, and it is fun, but it's not the same. So getting back to doing it in person in a studio setting is going to be amazing.
Yeah, you might know it from the ad that plays on here is, I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master. Yeah, that's Stephen Koo, former guest Stephen Koo saying that's pretty funny. I laugh every time I hear that.
That was a real suggestion when we first did the show live at a comic convention. Someone shouted that out. We had Mike Drucker on that. He was a former writer for
I know Mike
Jimmy
Drucker.
Fallon.
Yeah,
great dude. He came on the show on our very first show that we did. So wonderful to have him. So, that's me. Randy, what do you got?
Oh, check out my band Chat Pile. We're working on new material right now. Yep, that's all I got.
Excellent. Well, great. This has been, I think, a little bit longer than usual episode, which is fine because we're talking about Ernest.
We're talking about a legend.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for continuing to listen.
Yeah, thanks again, Josh, that we've been doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah.
Thank you all for having me. This is fun.
Yeah.
Always down to talk Ernest.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, we'll definitely do one of these again. So
indeed.
Although, wait, there's got to be a podcast out there called The Importance of Being Ernest, and it's all about Ernest.
Yeah, okay. I follow them on Facebook for a while. Yeah. They've been around for a few years. They're good dudes. So great. Thank you all again. I'm wrapping this up. I guess I'll just say it. See you all later.
Goodbye.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.